who do I want to be in this situation? It gives me more like control over a really uncontrollable situation. So I'm not always able to stop the behavior, but I can control how my response is. Still tugging threads from episode 2, kindergarten, suspension, and what we know about the world. In this episode, we consider taking the time to reflect and notice patterns. It begins by deciding who we want to be when faced with extreme behaviors. This is Sticky Hope. Hi, Becca. So I am so excited to pick up this conversation from our episode 2 about kindergarten suspension and what we know about the world. And one of the things that we were talking about was just this extreme reaction that we sometimes have because we're like, what else are we going to do? So in our classrooms or in schools, when things are happening and it's extreme and we've like feel like we've exhausted all the possibilities, and then it's like suddenly we're talking about suspension in kindergarten. And one of the things that we were thinking about was like, well, let's hold off a minute and like slow down and look at different patterns that kids are exhibiting. So like, where are the problems really happening? What do kids need? And that led us to thinking we really wanted to talk a little bit more about what does it mean to reflect and notice patterns in kids' behaviors.
Yeah. And I think as we continued through that conversation, we also thought about ourselves and like who we want to be in those situations, and how to use reflection and thinking through the patterns that we're noticing to kind of decide who we want to be moving forward. And when we were thinking through kindergarten suspension, it really made me stop and think, like, is that really who we want to be for these kids when they're having their hardest time, right? They're their most dysregulated selves. And our response gets to the point of like, we don't want you here. No, of course, that's not who we want to be and what we want to be doing. And the way to help yourself not get there is to slow down and notice the patterns in yourself that are leading to that kind of thinking. Like what are your responses kind of getting you to, and where can you make those small shifts to help you not get to that extreme thinking? And it can be really tricky to slow down and reflect and notice those patterns. And it helps to have a thought partner, right, to process these situations. And it helps to have a plan going in. This is some thinking you and I have done as we're preparing for our book, and really thinking through like who you want to be before you even face any of these situations and the kind of language you want to use and the plans you have in place to respond to these trickiest behaviors.
We're living in a world, right, in our classrooms that it's time to expect that kids are going to exhibit some extreme behaviors. It was just a given. And so if we don't think through who do I want to be when a child has an outburst, then sometimes it's harder to be the person that we do want to be. I think I learned this like almost baptism by fire when we adopted our daughters. And our youngest, she was in a preschool for 2, 3, and 4 year olds with anger issues. So like, like just kind of pause a minute, because I didn't even know preschools like that existed. And I'm assuming that some of our listeners don't know that either, that there's actually places. Yeah. You know, like that a 2-year-old can be defined as a human with an anger issue. And this specially designed preschool, it was an amazing place to really help kids, right, learn to interact with the world differently. But so she came and like her sister, she wasn't angry enough to be in this preschool. So like even that idea of like there's like a like what's that checklist look like to qualify you for this preschool. But so she came and there was a lot of tension all the time. And I had to figure out like who I wanted to be, because what I always imagined motherhood looking like with a four-year-old was not at all what it looked like with her. And I remember I had this bracelet, and basically it was the first letter of each word in the sentence. And it was, I don't need the last word. IDT, you know, I don't need the last word. And I would wear that because what I quickly realized was if I didn't learn just to close my mouth and walk away, then it was this cycle that I didn't want to be part of. And I think that's true for us in our classrooms too. Like kids are coming and showing us behaviors that we've not seen before, or if we've seen them, they've kind of been sprinkled throughout our career. It's not something that's part of daily life.
Right.
And so being the kind, like thinking through, like how do I want to respond to people is super important. And so that ground, I think like the bottom line that you and I have talked about a little bit has been like everyone needs to be safe and everyone is valued and belongs here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're thinking about your youngest daughter made me think about the first time I faced this in my classroom was my first year in kindergarten 7 years ago. And I was not the person that I wanted to be in those situations. It was scary to watch a five-year-old standing on furniture and jumping off and tearing down bulletin boards and swearing in kids' faces. Like, it was intense and extreme, and I had no idea what I was doing. And what I wanted was someone to swoop in and solve it. Someone come tell me what I'm supposed to be doing or what needs to change here, because this is not what kindergarten is supposed to look like. And then when that didn't happen, because it couldn't, right? Like there is no magic person with a superhero cape that's going to swoop in. Like when that person didn't arrive at my door, I felt really frustrated, like something was wrong. And like, as I've reflected over the years, I felt like I was doing something wrong, right? Like I'm doing something that's leading to this happening so frequently in my classroom, and I don't know how to fix it. And no one does. And that was like a scary thing. And I wish that back then I had someone who sat down and thought through it with me and stopped and looked at patterns and was able to look at what I was doing that could be different and what I could do to help the child make different choices. And that was even just 7 years ago. That was a time where not a lot of people, at least where I was, like knew what to do or knew how to do that. And so I was kind of in it alone for a while. And like as time has gone on, and I've pretty much had a situation like that in my class almost every year since, I've learned to do things like stop and reflect and notice the patterns and think about when these things are happening and if the child's needs are met and how I can kind of come around the child in a positive way and like collaborate with my administration and other like the safety team at school in a proactive way to really step alongside the child instead of feel frustrated and get to that extreme thinking. But it had to come from someone stepping back before we were like running into this situation. And like oftentimes you're literally running, right? Like these kids are literally running down halls and out of the building. And like you need to know what you're going to do, because then you get to wherever the child stops and you have to know, right? Like you can't just guess in that moment because you won't be able to be who you want to be. And it makes me think about how you say like you experience school the way you experienced it, right? Like you live school the way it was for you. And I think we can think back to like, first of all, I don't even remember this kind of behavior. I was in a private school, but I don't remember kids behaving that way, but I can imagine what the nuns would have done. And that's not who I want to be when I'm facing these situations. And so in order for me to not be to not experience this situation the way that I experienced school, I need to be intentional and ready to make a different choice. Otherwise, our brains just go back to what they're used to.
right, what's comfortable or what we already know. And so much of what we're seeing in classrooms is stuff that we've not seen before. So there's a lot of power, I think, in pre-deciding and in running through some scenarios and really asking ourselves, like, is that sending the message, right, that I value everybody's safety and everybody is valuable? Because, like, the truth of the matter, I've spent my whole life in public education. So I went to public school. I've always served in public education. And the reason why I love public education, right, is because it's for everybody. And it's not like parents are keeping their best at home, right? They're sending us the best that they have. And we get to value everyone that's in our classroom as whatever continuum that's on. So this idea of, like, pre-deciding what I'm going to believe about somebody and then how I'm going to act in the moment is important. And so one of the things that struck me in our conversation, because we were talking about suspension in kindergarten because it's like this recent, right? like it is on our minds and it's super recent. But one of the things that you said that really struck me was you said, but I said, like, wait a minute, let's look at where the referrals are. And when you did that, you noticed that they were in places where there was a lot more freedom for kids and a lot less supervision. So there weren't as many eyes on them. And it just struck me as, like, this moment where you paused the conversation, as I'm sure it was intense. I have no idea. I wasn't there and we haven't talked about it. But, you know, like, you just paused this conversation and posed the question, well, where is the student having trouble really working in appropriate school ways? And you began noticing things. So how do we do that in the moment when, like, that, I think what you just described is, like, I just wanted somebody to swoop in and fix it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, being offered this almost reprieve, like, the student's not here anymore, that can feel like it might not feel like it's the right thing, but it's the immediate thing that makes it a little easier.
Yeah. As we have kind of processed through some of this, we've thought through how different teachers kind of respond. And you and I have been fascinated by people's response in saying, like, when a child has been destructive or disruptive to the point of needing someone to come and remove the child from the class, the majority of people are saying they don't feel comfortable with that child returning. And I think some of that is because we aren't trained or our brains aren't thinking through the steps backwards. We're not stopping and reflecting about what led up to that extreme moment. And so we're just in a response to that extreme moment. And, like, of course your brain's going to go into protective mode of, like, I don't want that to happen again. But if you can step back and see the person that was there and okay and regulated that led up to this extreme moment, and you can see kind of the small steps that happened, you can also see how you can respond as a person in those small steps to kind of swoop in before we hit that extreme response. And almost like you have to swoop in yourself, right? Like, no one can swoop in the middle of a situation to stop the extreme response except for you, because you're the one that's there. Right. And so if you can step back and notice, like, oh, like their tone of voice has changed, their body posturing has changed, they're seeking time away from themselves. Like, these are things I know that are indicators for this child that things are coming. And what can I do in that moment? Does quiet music help? Do I need to lessen the amount of sound in the room? Do they need a snack? Can I ask for someone to come bring them for a walk now before they start to escalate? Do they need a sensory break? There's a whole list of things, and it would look very different for every child. And that's a tricky part, right? Like, at the beginning of the school year, you don't know your kids in that way, but you learn who you have to figure out pretty fast. You know which kids by the end of the first week you might need to be able to support sooner. And that changes as the year goes on. But as the year goes on, you know your kids better. And so it gets easier to kind of figure out what's going on and how to support each child.
Becca, there's so much, right? Like, so I have like so many questions, but you and I have kind of committed to keeping our podcasts, you know, like less than 20 minutes. So I'm like, have this list now of more things to talk about. But one thing that I do want to leave us with, because like it's a lot to figure out, and I can't wait to crack more of that open, like some of those strategies. But one thing that I want to just leave us with is that when we start like thinking about who do I want to be in this situation, it gives me more like control over a really uncontrollable situation. So I'm not always able to stop the behavior, but I can control how my response is. And so at the beginning, when I was talking about like with one of my kiddos, just that I don't need the last word. And like that was hard. But what I very quickly saw was a change in like behavior that became more responsive. And so then she would be, you know, doing the thing that was asked instead of verbally back and forth with me, the behavior that we were hoping we were starting to see. And so I think like there, we can say like there's a lot and there's a lot of frustration and exhaustion, but even just choosing one thing, we can pretty quickly see a turnaround. And now when I say pretty quickly, I'm not meaning like no more behavior, right? What are you thinking when I say pretty quickly?
You know, weeks at least. Small increments in the world of extreme behavior can mean weeks, right? You'll see small changes happen inconsistently at first, and then they become more and more consistent as time goes on. And eventually you start to realize, and it's almost so slow that you don't notice until at some point you're like, whoa, like she just followed that direction. And then you're like texting your friends like, guys, like we're there, we did it.
And they might have followed the direction while telling you no the whole time. Or like cussing the whole way to do the thing that you wanted. Like exactly. It's not going to be beautiful, but that's that small, quickly. We are seeing some changes where like they're actually doing or participating in the behavior, but not maybe not the vision that we have for it quite yet. Yeah. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And if you'd like even more hope, check out our website, stickyhope.com. for tools, resources, and more. This episode was sponsored by Choice Literacy, a powerful hub of articles, videos, and resources for teachers by teachers.